Ladies, ladies, Women Thrive Live event is happening very soon in London. It's happening 5th and 6th of June, and this is our flagship event where you will want to be. Save your spot today because we have nearly 20 amazing international speakers who are going to bring some incredible subjects to the conversation. And this event isn't just one where you're going to be sit back and you're going to listen to a bunch of speakers. No, we want you involved. We want you conversating, we want you collaborating, building relationships, and also having an unforgettable experience. The event is happening in Notting Hill, an iconic venue. So you'll want to be there for the full experience. So make sure you book yourself the spot and also clear your diary for the 5th and 6th of June. We're so excited to have you there, and we can't wait for you to truly experience Women Thrive Live event in person. Look forward to seeing you there. Take care.
One of the biggest and most impactful things that you can do for yourself and for your children in parenting, in trauma recovery, is understanding your triggers, understanding how emotions show up in your body, and learning how to reflect instead of judging yourself.
Welcome to Women Thrive Podcast. This is where you'll get to hear incredible stories of female entrepreneurs, business owners, women from all walks of life. Myself, Raymond Jan, and my co-host Abigail will be interviewing incredible women, hearing inspiring stories of women from all around the world. I have no doubt that you will find something that will be life-changing for you. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and join us for our future episodes.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast episode at Women Thrive. My name is Ramonda Jan and I will be your host. Today I have a lovely guest with me, Emily Cleghorn. Hi Emily, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Where are you joining from?
I am coming to you from New Brunswick, Canada.
Canada. I love that. Amazing. Well, today we're actually talking about healing through motherhood and how we can break the cycles and build better futures for ourselves and the next generations to come. And my lovely guest today is Emily Cleghorn, who's an award-winning trauma recovery coach. She's an author, a podcaster, and inspirational speaker. She's on a mission to support trauma-surviving mamas to navigate triggers and tantrums as they heal their childhood's trauma in the midst of their parenting. Emily, so good to have you here today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I am excited about our conversation.
Emily, so I've heard your story, and it has recently come out in an incredible podcast, actually, and I was absolutely glued to hearing your story. But if our audience don't know you yet, I wanted to get to know you a little bit because I see you as a bit of a warrior woman, as someone who has so much strength, so much courage, and you're truly inspirational for others who have survived trauma. So tell me a little bit more about your journey.
Well, I was raised primarily by my paternal grandparents. I was a very sick infant. And so my mom dropped me off with them, and she was really in and out of the picture when it was convenient for her, when she was able to, whatever you want to say there. And then when I was 6 years old, my dad got married. And at that point, I was really close with my dad. I was daddy's little girl. And so I wanted to go be with him. And so I moved in with my dad, my stepmom, and my stepbrother. It was around November because school was already going. Did the whole new kid thing at school. And it didn't take very long for me to realize that moving in with my dad, my stepmom, and my stepbrother was a really bad decision. I lived there for about 18 months. And during that time, I was abused by my stepmom and my stepbrother in all of the ways. All of the ways. On weekends, I was not allowed to stay at home. I went to stay with other family members. And the particular Sunday night, I was at my biological mom's house, and she told me to go get my things packed up so that I could go home. And I was 7 years old at this point. And something clicked inside of my little seven-year-old body and said, we're not going back. We're going to get out of it. I don't know how, because my mom lived in the sticks. So there was nowhere for me to run. And it was November, so it was cold. Cold and snowy. I was scrawny enough that I could fit under my sister's desk and put my bag in front of me. And so I sat there, and it was my best game ever of hide and seek. My brother came in, my sister came in, Em, where'd you go? And I was quiet because I was determined that I was not going back. I didn't know where I was going, but I wasn't going back home. And so eventually my mom found me. She noticed my bag sitting in the chair hole, and I said, I'm not going back. So that started the sequence of phone calls. And that night I went back to live with my paternal grandparents, and life went back to normal because I was not normal. But nobody had the tools or the strategies to give me to help me cope with what had happened. I learned very young to stuff all of those emotions, all of those hard feelings that typically as humans, if something is really painful, we avoid it, right? We don't want to feel it. And so that's what I did. That's what I was taught. And that resulted in my teens as depression and anxiety. It manifested in my 20s as stomach issues, digestive problems, hormonal imbalances, infertility. And it wasn't until my daughter was born, actually, before my daughter was born, before she was born, I had a miscarriage because of the hormonal issues I was having. I had a miscarriage. And that was the catalyst for teaching me how my stress that I had been walking around with, I had learned how to live with it, not pleasantly, but I was somewhat functional, how it was impacting my health. And then when my daughter was born, that was when the freight train came barreling down the tracks and like sideswiped me. And this tiny little baby looked like baby Emily. She was absolutely adorable in my biased opinion. Triggered my nervous system massively. And the narrative inside of me was saying, get the hell out of here. It's not safe. Meanwhile, I knew cognitively that if I listened to that, if I did that, then I was going to repeat what had happened to me and the damage and the hurt that it was going to cause her and my husband. So that's a bit of my story. High level view. And so my daughter, in a lot of ways, saved my life, because had she not been born, I wouldn't have been aware of the healing necessary. I wouldn't have been aware of how that emotional trauma was impacting my physical health, which was impacting everything.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, honestly, when I first heard your story, it really shook me. And it's something I thought of for a long time, for days. And even until today, I'm like, you're such a warrior to go through what you've gone. And I know there's so much more to the story than what you've been able to share. But it's quite interesting that at that moment, when you looked at your daughter, you felt like it wasn't safe. So clearly there was an effect or some kind of response, fear response to your trauma or perhaps even generational trauma. How do you see that moment now that you've gone through your healing journey?
So for me, in my living experience, mothers have given conditional love. They've maybe unintentionally caused hurt. The associations that I made with the word mother were traumatic. And in that moment where I was looking at my daughter and I was her mother, I was running from hurting her. This took me a long time to recognize and understand that mothers were unsafe for me. And as my kids were learning how to talk, even now, they don't call me mom very often. They call me mama, because the language association for me has been huge. Our language carries so much weight, and certain words have different connotations. And so for me, the word mother has been something that I've had to work through and rewrite some of the narrative around what a mother is and what a mother does. Because mothers are meant to have unconditional love, be there no matter what. But if that is not your experience in childhood, when your understanding of the world is being created, that's not the definition that you have. Your definition is much more hurtful. And so that's a bit of where that response came from.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because like I say, our brains can associate things so powerfully as well. And sometimes it's that fight or flight effect. And as soon as that came, that feeling came up for you, I guess that was a response. And it's usually a traumatic response that could manifest itself really strongly. And you talked about that manifesting itself in physical conditions that you started to experience later in life. So it's not just mental, but it's also physical, which is quite interesting.
It's interesting to me how in our society, we have disassociated our physical health from our emotional health, from our spiritual health. And we have all of these different entities that specialize in different areas of our health, when in actual fact, we are one being, and our physical health is connected to our emotional health, is connected to our spiritual health, is connected to all of the pieces of the puzzle that make us a whole human. And so, yeah, it's a bit surprising when you sit back and think about you were dealing with a stressful situation and your stomach got upset.
I've noticed that actually when I get stressed out, I feel it in my tummy all the time. It started quite young. It does something to me physically when I get worried or upset very much. It certainly has an effect. So, Emily, I'd love to ask you who you help and how you support others who have perhaps gone through trauma themselves.
Yeah, I am a trauma surviving mama who is insanely passionate about helping other mamas like me navigating mamahood while also healing their trauma. I help those mamas who don't want to pass their trauma on to their kids, but they're not quite sure what the steps are to achieve that. So I come alongside them in a one-to-one setting, and we work through their triggers and identifying their emotions and untriggering their mamahood so that they can show up with peace and love and joy for their kids and for themselves.
I think what's really powerful about your story and also your experience, that the work you're doing now is, it is actually coming from that experience, and you've helped yourself, you helped other people. And I know you work with others You create amazing events and you've written a book. So there's a lot of work that you're doing, not only just one-on-one, but also in the world. So you mentioned some of the practical things or actionable things, and I like to give our listeners something practical. So if perhaps someone has been through trauma and they now have their own children, and I fear that too, how can we not pass on some of those limiting beliefs or traumas or things that seem normal that you do all the time, but perhaps could cause harm to our children? So what are some of the practical things you advise others who may want to raise healthy children and not pass on their traumas to the little ones?
One of the biggest and most impactful things that you can do for yourself and for your children in parenting, in trauma recovery, is understanding your triggers, understanding how emotions show up in your body, and learning how to reflect instead of judging yourself. An example that I can share is a few years ago when my son was less verbal, he was learning to talk. He has always been a big feeler. He has big feelings. And he's very specific. Like, he knows what he wants, but when he was learning how to talk, it was a guessing game. Anyway, so there was something going on and he was having his big feelings, and his go-to when he's frustrated or upset was screaming. Okay, so I've got this 2-year-old, I think he was between 18 months and two. He's screaming his head off. And I'm trying to help him, I'm trying to solve the problem for him, help him through it. And he's not having any of it. So then eventually, a half an hour or an hour into this screaming fit, my nervous system can't handle anything else. And I start having my own temper tantrum. And in that moment, I actually, in my frustration, kicked a hole in my laundry room wall. Unintentionally, I kicked the wall and didn't realize the drywall was not as tough as I thought it was. And I was like, oh, crap, now I've got to tell my husband to kick the wall. So in that moment, I had to go back and first apologize to my son because mommy threw a fit all on her own. And for a little kid, that can be scary when a grown-up is throwing a fit. So apologizing, letting him know that it's not okay to kick the wall. Mommy made a boo-boo, and now we have to fix it. Then reflecting within myself what was actually going on. Because even though his screaming fit was the straw that broke the camel's back, it wasn't what I was reacting to. My trigger, your trigger, when you get upset like that in a situation with your child, is not what your child is doing. It is the emotion or the feeling in your nervous system that is recalled by your child doing what they're doing. So in that moment, I was feeling unheard because I was trying to help him and he wasn't having any of it. And so many times in my childhood, I felt unheard. So many times. And so I had to go back and reflect on that. Acknowledge what you could do better next time. Where did you feel those feelings in your body? Did your stomach tighten up? Did you get tension in here? Did your heart rate go up? Did your breathing quicken? Your body is talking to you through all of these different symptoms and signs, but we aren't listening. We've been conditioned to not listen to our bodies anymore. And so part of untriggering your mamahood is coming back and getting to know your body again and how those feelings get manifest in your body. And I would like to say that this process is quick and an overnight thing. It's not. It's totally not. But it does work. I think it took me a year, 18 months. And without even realizing it, my son was throwing a fit, as he did frequently. And I was able to help him through it calmly without having a temper tantrum of my own. And it wasn't until after the fact I was like, whoa, he had a fit and I didn't. Yes. Like, it was a win. And we have to acknowledge our wins, because trauma recovery, motherhood, both are hard. They're not easy things to do. And so when we acknowledge the win, no matter how small, it puts a little sunshine on a tough situation.
I am so glad that you share that, because I truly can say that I can relate to the challenges that we face as mothers. It's incredible that we go through these situations, which is going to stretch us, is going to test us, is going to take us there. But well done to you for recognizing just what happened there and recognizing that you still had your own healing to do. And that's where it's so powerful. When you go through your own transformation, you start to realize that actually, I can heal that. I can go through this, and you become stronger. And I love that you said it's not an overnight thing, because it's true. What I've realized about trauma and our response to trauma or triggers is that you have to face certain situations that will trigger you in order to uncover that there is an issue. So if you just go about, yeah, I'm happy all the time and nothing is going to bother me, and you're not facing challenges or you're trying to avoid challenges, actually you're not going to come face to face with those edges where, or those shadows that need healing. So if you're constantly in your comfort zone, it's actually not going to happen. And I think our children really come into our lives to teach us some things. And I'm glad that you've taken that as a lesson.
I just want to add here that if you are living in avoidance of your triggers, those emotions are still in your body. They're still there wreaking havoc, because my digestive problems didn't just appear. They were a stress response. When you're stressed out, your stomach is not able to digest your food the way that it needs to. And so there's extra acid and things don't work as they're supposed to when you're stressed out. So you can try and avoid it, but it will come out in some way, shape, or form, whether it's how you choose it to come out or how your body chooses to allow it to come out, because your body's not meant to store all of that stuff.
I say, you know, avoidance is not a strategy for healing.
No, it's a strategy for sickness.
For sure. So you've written a book. Tell me a little bit more about your book.
Yeah, so I wrote Rising from the Ashes, Reclaiming Your Life After Traumatic Childhood. And I released it about a year ago in September of 2023. And when I released the second edition of it, I also created a workbook, because the information that is in the book, it's great information and it's all information that is useful and relevant to your healing journey. It's all of the little bits and pieces that I learned early on in my healing journey, things that I was missing, things that I needed to address. But having that information does you no service unless you do something with it. And so the workbook comes alongside and gives you the prompts that you need to actually do something with the information.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we will be sure putting in the links that you need in the show notes. So make sure that you tap in and check out Emily's book. Emily, you will be a speaker at a Women Thrive Summit. I'm very excited to have you on our stage and also to hear more from you on the platform. So tell me a little bit more what people can expect from you at your talk.
So, I am a firm believer about giving you action steps, like empowering you with understanding the why behind what's going on, but also giving you the steps that you can take and do. So, in my talk during the Women Thrive Summit, you're going to get a checklist, and we're going to work through the checklist together. And so you'll have to stay tuned and follow along to actually get the checklist and do something.
I love it. It's a journey, it's a process. Most important that if our audience do feel inspired by your story, they feel connected, they feel like they need those steps and they need the guidance or support, or they just want someone to speak to, I'd love to invite them to connect with you, Emily. And where do people connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. My handle is emily.cleghorn.coach, and you can connect with me there. You can also find me on the Mamahood After Trauma podcast.
Amazing. And Emily, you do host symposiums, events of your own. What are they about?
Yeah, so once a quarter, I host the Mamahood After Trauma Symposium. It is a one-day live event hosted on Zoom for trauma-surviving mamas who are serious about healing, who want the steps. And throughout the day, you hear from 12 amazing speakers who are doing work within the trauma recovery space. And you get the community and so much goodness, so much goodness. These events are amazing and highly transformational. I love them so much. They're amazing.
As someone who hosts events, honestly, I know how just amazing it is to see people attend your events and then get that transformation. And most people, I mean, a lot of people tend to sit back and just kind of tap in. They not won't put that camera on or won't say anything. But then you find out weeks or months later that that particular event has been life-changing for them. And so I just hope that you'll have more people joining your events, experiencing that transformation, and perhaps reaching out to work with you directly. I think you're phenomenal, Emily. I've
Thank
been
you.
so grateful to get to know you and to be able to support you on this journey as well and have you on our stage because so many people need this. So I'm just super delighted that we get this time to conversate today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
So, to all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Reach out to Emily. All the information will be available to you in the show notes. So, just tap in, connect with her, get to know her. And if you have felt inspired by this conversation, leave a comment below. For today, that's all from now. And we'll look forward to seeing you on another episode. Take care for now. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Women Thrive Podcast. If you found today's episode empowering and inspiring, be sure to subscribe and follow us. Better yet, leave a review and share it with others. We're committed to bringing you more stories that will empower and inspire you on your own journey. Until next time, keep listening, keep learning, and keep pursuing your dreams.